Blog Talk Radio.
Your day is someone's night. Your smile is someone's cry. Even when you're happy, there is someone somewhere hurting. And though the sun fills your sky, tears fill someone else's eyes. Even though you're alright, there is someone lonely tonight. So help me, Lord, please, to touch somebody.
Today, hallelujah, you have tuned into
I Am Royalty show, where kings and queens with riches will and always be sitting in heavenly places and walking in greatness. Let me start off with our introduction. This is the Lord's doing on today, and it is marvelous in our lives. This is the day the Lord has made just for you and me. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send us the right now prosperity. Hallelujah. Yes, kings and queens with riches, you have tuned in on today, I Am Royalty show. Yes, we have a special guest on today, I Am Royalty listeners. So I want you to call everybody to call in on today. Tell everybody, if you're driving in your car, then cut your radio up, because on today we're going to have a show with our special guest. I'm going to introduce the song and present to others Keith McQuarrie Sr., a.k.a. Cousin Pete on Port of Justice. Yes, let me say that again. Keith McQuarrie Sr., a.k.a. Cousin Pete on Port of Justice. Hallelujah. And on today, we're going to be talking to you for the next 30 minutes, and we're going to be talking about different things that God is doing in his life and manifesting his life. We're going to talk to him on today. So the show is recorded. I Am Royalty listeners. For all of you who is not able to listen in right now, you can listen to later on today. You can listen to it tomorrow. You can also record the show for yourself. Be blessed. And if you want to call in, and if we have time to ask some questions, you can call in at 917-889-7059. 917-889-7059. Hallelujah. Hello, now we're going to introduce him, Keith McQuarrie. Hallelujah. Hi, Keith. How are you on today?
Hello, everybody. How are you? Well, Pastor Tashana, how are you, Pastor Tashana, and everyone else? I'm blessed by the best. I ain't going to settle for nothing less.
Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Now, that's what I was going to say to you. That's what I say. I'm blessed by the best and forget about the rest. Hallelujah. Keep the connection already.
Amen.
Well, yes, God, yes. Well, I just want you just a little bit to, you know, introduce yourself a little bit to the listeners, for all those that's listening out there today. And then I'm just going to ask you a few questions. It's not even going to be that many questions, but just a few questions so you can motivate that man and that woman, that king and that queen with riches, to go to the next level that God has in store for them. But right now, I just want you to introduce yourself a little bit to the listeners.
Certainly, no problem. Well, first of all, you are almost right with my name. All throughout my life, people have had a problem pronouncing my last name or either taking it and inverting it to something else. My name is McQuarrie. That's M-C, capital C-A-R-Y. And it's pronounced McQuarrie, not Query, McQuarrie.
McQuarrie,
not McCray. I've had problems all over the years, you know, that people would always refuse to say McQuarrie, and they would always give me McCray. And so if you look at the credits in the movies that I've been in, they will always say Special K McCray. We did that for one reason only, is for marketing purposes, because people would always say McCray anyway. And my stage name throughout the years has been Special K. When I first got started some 25 years ago, I was known as Special K. And so when I started doing film and television, they just went ahead and said, since they have so much problems anyway, then we're just going to put you down as Special K McCray. But my name, again, my given name, my God-given name, my mom and my daddy's name is McQuarrie, Keith McQuarrie. And I've been at this, Pastor Tashana, for, as I said, some 25 years plus. I've been doing stand-up comedy throughout the country and across the waters. I was a regular in the Caribbean for a long time, and on cruise ships and on resorts throughout the Cayman Islands, the Bahamas, and the Virgin Islands. And I was also a regular on the mainstream comedy clubs, like the Punchlines and the Funny Bone Comedy Club and the Comedy Store throughout. And, you know, God has just blessed me to have been in several motion pictures and on multiple television shows. Most popular among our people, when I say our people, you know, I'm talking about black people, that has been Poetic Justice. And people remember me as the cousin that everybody loves, America's favorite relative, Cousin Pete.
Yes.
I was the one at the family reunion when Tupac and Janice and Joe, they crashed the family reunion. I was the one running around with the crazy Bermuda shorts and Johnson and Johnson family T-shirt, you know, just getting on all the young ladies, you know, because Cousin Pete was a, you know, he was a family man, but, you know, he loved the ladies back in the day. So I was the one, and, you know, and everybody was family to me. That's the reason why Tupac and Janet and Joe and Regina were able to crash that family reunion successfully because, you know, to me, they were just family. So, hey, come on in, cousin.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If you don't mind me asking, how was it working with Janet Jackson and John Singleton and the late Tupac and Joe Torre and Regina King? How was it working with them? How was that?
Well, you know, that was a real treat for me because prior to working with John and with Janet, working on A Set of the Nature, I had the two previous films that I had did was a movie called China Moon, which was actually my very first movie. That starred Ed Harris and Madeline Stowe, and it was actually Benicio del Toro's debut in the starring capacity. And then I went on from there to be cast as the villain that everybody loves to hate in a movie called Rush, which is by MGM and Zanuck Pictures. And my previous experiences were working with white films and white actors and white directors and, you know, an all-white crew and predominantly all-white cast. And to work with John, so amazing that our people, black people, that could, you know, could be at such a level. John Singleton, you know, he is a phenomenal man. He's a director at such a young age. You know, he was only like 20, 24, I think it was, at the time that was done. And to see him in control of this whole set where everybody, the cast, the crew, and everybody in the staff was predominantly black. And all the power positions, all the key technical positions, everything from the production company to the catering to the costumers, everybody that I had been used to seeing in as white people in that role. And I'm not prejudiced whatsoever, but I got to promote my people, and I was used to seeing that on such a large scale, but I was so overwhelmed to see our people, black people, in those positions and running those areas that, you know, that I'm sure many of you, and I know I did, thought, you know, was pretty much only open to people in the Caucasian race, white people. And that was number one that impressed me, because this man, he was working on the computer, directing the film, and reading the book all at the same time. And for him to do that many things, multitasking like that, and still not miss a beat, was very impressive. Now, as far as Janet and Tupac were concerned, you know, Tupac, he's a legend in his own time. And, you know, and these are two of the greatest icons in the music industry. And Tupac was nothing like what the media portrayed him to be. You know, I got to know him on a personal level, on a one-on-one level. And to see him in this park situation, because we shot this film in Griffith Park in Los Angeles for the most part, at least the scene that I was in, you know, we spent almost a month in this park, 3 weeks and some days, in this park, because the weather conditions had to be ideal in order to shoot. So, you know, we really got to know each other personally. And to see him interact with the kids on the set, because if you remember the scene, there were so many kids. It was a family reunion. It was, you know, so there was a lot of people that were playing extras and a lot of people that, you know, they were playing, you know, just roles that were, you know, they were not principal roles, and that, but supporting roles. And to see him interact with the kids between takes and to go and play games with them, tag and such things as that, you know, this was a man that, you know, was portrayed by the media as being a beast. But yet he was so perfect. That's why the youth today, as well as back then, loved him like they did, because he connected with them. He connected with them, and you know, and as big as he was not very big. Not in their eyes. Whereas the persons in charge tried to keep him separated, but he crossed the line. They couldn't come over this side, so he went over there. And it was just amazing, as I said, you know, to be around our people and so much love. No, you know, no incidents on the set, you know, and situations like that. Usually, you know, you hear reports of violence. So I mean, it was just peaceful, and we had a great time on the set. Janet Jackson, she's a sweetheart. That's all I can say. She's a sweetheart, and you know, it was an honor and a pleasure to work with her too.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm just sitting up and just listening like, oh, wow. I mean, it just, wow. You have really have, for the last 25 years, you have had a great experience. You know, mommy being a pastor and everything, I, like, aligned everything up with life to the word of God. And, you know, in Proverbs 18, verse 16, it says that your gift will make room for you in the presence of great men. And, you know, your gift made room for you in the presence of great men. You know, it allows you, you know, the favor of God on your life. I call it the fall, F-O-G, favor of God. The favor of God allowed you to be in the presence of great men and do great things. And at Walmart, they sell porta just like about $5. And my kids that take here right now, they'll tell you about a couple of weeks ago, I was like, my kids don't really know about porta just because my daughter, I just had her when it came out in 1993. And I was like, y'all think this movie before? He's like, well, we heard of it, but we never saw it. I said, well, I'm going to get it because this is a legend movie right here. And my kids right now, we watch it all the time. And my youngest daughter, if she was here right now, she'll tell you she loved your part in Port of Justice. You know, the part when you tell Tupac, you know, he's like, I'm lucky. You say, lucky. He said, if I had a woman like that, I'd call you lucky too. She loved that part. She really laughed at that part. It's just funny, you know, and you are. You are, you as well. You are considered as an icon because everybody's going to always remember how, in that part in that movie, how you made them laugh and how they can relate to their own family. Like, even when I was married, you know, when our family used to go to family reunions, it kind of reminded me of that Port of Justice scene as a family reunion. So you are as well are a living scripture, Proverbs 18:16, manifested in human life. You know, the Lord allowed you, your gifts to make room for you in the presence of great men. And you are an icon as well. You are a legend, and people are going to always remember you as that man who, you know, who, like you said, was a family man but loved the women, you know. And it's just great just to even interview you right now. I know my listeners and on I'm a Ruby Magazine are going to really love to listen and listen to this broadcast, and it's going to be a blessing to their lives as well.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That. Well, you know, I do thank God every day for the honor of being able to be cast in that role, because when I went to audition for that movie, you know, I was originally cast as Uncle Earl, who was a character that came on at the very end of the film when Tupac got to San Francisco. And he found out his cousin had got killed, and I was cast as his cousin's dad, Uncle Earl. And, you know, and I was just happy, you know, to be in a John Singleton film. But, you know, as God would have it, you know, my manager called me back, you know, a few days after, you know, she had told me that I was cast in that role and said that I was no longer going to play that role. And, you know, I was like, wow. I said, man, you know, I haven't even set foot on the set. Got fired already? She said, no. They decided to give you the character Cousin Pete. And see, nobody else, this is something, this is a trivia question that, you know, listeners might want to keep in mind. Nobody else was actually auditioned for the role of Cousin Pete. I was the only actor that was auditioned for Cousin Pete. And the reason being was because the role was originally intended for Eddie Murphy.
Wow, come on.
Oh, praise the Lord. They had given the role to Eddie Murphy, but Eddie Murphy at the time was shooting a movie called Distinguished Gentleman. And so as it would be, he was running into some overruns and there was conflicts and scheduling, and Johnny Singleton decided that him and the executives of Columbia Pictures New Deal, they all unanimously agreed that, you know, that I should play that role, because I tell you, when I met John for the first time, and I was called to do the audition, it was through Robbie Reed. Robbie Reed is probably one of the most well-known and most infamous black casting directors in the world, and she had called me, you know, to come in for a general meeting because I had got so much praise for my part that I played in the movie Rush. And this is why I was saying about, you know, why I was so amazing, you know, so excited about working with John Singleton, because I was with a star-studded cast in the movie Rush. I don't know if you remember that, with Jennifer Jason Leigh and Jason Patrick, Sam Elliott, Greg Allman, which was, you know, some of the biggest icons in the white world.
I grew up
watching Sam Elliott playing the cowboy pictures and stuff. And I was actually the only black actor that had a speaking role in that movie. And it was a true story based on a book by Kim Rosencraft. And that was a film that I almost received the Best Supporting Actor Oscar nomination. And it was only because the director, which is Lily Zanuck, she said, I made a terrible mistake, and she apologized to me profusely when we were going to New York to do the screening and do the press junket for not using me more, because she was told that that was the only mistake that she made. Siskel and Ebert, you know, they were unanimous in giving me the thumbs up and said that after my scene that the movie went downhill. I mean, these are the kind of praises I was getting from the L.A. Times and across the board, and Siskel and Ebert. And I say this because when Poetic Justice came out, you know, with Siskel and Ebert again said, for the second time in back-to-back films, he stole Keith McKeary, Special K. McCray, stole the film. And when you tell me that people consider me an icon, you know, you're so on point, you know. And again, I'm humble enough to, you know, it amazes me when people tell me that, because, like I said, I just try to remain humble before the Lord, you know, because out of all the people that were in the movie, and there were a great deal of people that were in that film, they say the three most people that I remember most are Janet Jackson, Tupac, and Special K. McCray, Cousin Pete. I'm the third most remembered character in that film. And again, there's some great people in that film, so it's quite an honor, and I do appreciate the love that I get from my fans. And I've been able to utilize the Cousin Pete name, the Cousin Pete character, which is synonymous with me, God has provided me a living, you know, using Cousin Pete all these years. You know, again, that movie, you know, what, some 20 years ago. And to this date, Cousin Pete still remains a favorite. And now it's being introduced to a whole new generation of people, you know, because the film is being replayed so much.
Uh-huh. Yes, it definitely is, because I know for a known factor, like I told you, my three children now, they love it. My daughter, my youngest, she's 11, and she used to call it potted justice. And I was like, no, it's poetic justice. She's like, oh, Ma, can I watch potted justice? I said, poetic justice. And she loved the movie. And I'm telling you, every time she watches, she always just cracks up. And when they get to the reunion part, and when I told her, I said, I'm going to interview him tomorrow. And he was like, yeah, right. And I was like, for real. I met him, you know, through Pastor Keith. And he was like, the one was at our church? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, and I'm finna do an interview with him. And they was like, oh, wow, Mom. And he was like, oh, you know, our kids, are you coming up in the world? You know, it's just. They was very excited about it. And they told me they're going to listen to it later when they get home, because it is recorded live. And, you know, people are going to be listening to this, even this radio show, even next year from now. I've been doing my radio show for 2 years now. And this radio show came to me. I was a guest on another pastor's radio show. And they got so much feedback about that it allowed me to open the doors for me to start my own radio show. And I've been doing this radio show since June 1st of 2010. And it's very blessed, a very popular show here on Blog Talk. And it's allowed me to meet a lot of great people, men and women of God. And I call them kings and queens with riches, because we all are kings and queens with riches, sitting in heavenly places and walking in greatness. You know, and I just thank God every day for the opportunity and privilege to allow me, as well as even be in the presence of great men and to meet, you know, men and women of great success and prosperity. And it's just such a blessing every day. I also want to ask you a question just for that man and that woman, that listeners out there right now who, you know, want to get in the acting field or want to just even do something, you know, their dreams and their goals and their visions. And they've been trying for a long time, and it seems like, you know, all has failed. But I want you to let them know on today, just give them a little motivation, a little encouraging word, to let them know that all, even though all has failed, all is well, because they can keep on moving and that great things will happen to them.
Well, certainly. You know, one thing about acting, Pastor Tashana, is that you have to have a thick skin. And you have to be diligent, and you have to be patient at the same time. I say that because you know, there are so many people that you know, that aspire to do the things that, you know, God has blessed me to do in television and film and on stage as well. And you know, but they don't have a heart. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. They don't have the heart to maintain. And it's got to be something. You know, you got to have it down. You know, talent is one thing, but you got to have that heart. I mean, if it's what you want to do, you know, it's not going to come easy, because you have to be the best of the best. And you have to be willing to sacrifice and to stay the course. All the qualities that, you know, that make up a true soldier in the army of the Lord are the qualities that you have to possess. You have to stay with it. You have to stay with it if it's truly, truly in your heart what you want to do. And I would not pursue it if it was not deep down in my heart, because it's gonna test you. It's going to test you, and my Lord, you know, your faith has to be strong, and you have to make sacrifices over the years, because this is what I have had to do. And as we're talking, Poetic Justice was almost 20 years ago. Almost 20 years ago, but I maintained, because there were some ups and downs throughout the years. There were some things that happened in my life. There were some bad choices, bad management decisions, bad personal decisions. But if it wasn't for the Lord that was through it all, I still kept my eyes on Jesus. And he brought me through everything, which is going to be a highlight of a new show that has been created by my management company, Pastor Lewis KL Management Agency Incorporated, LLC, that we're going to stage in the fall of this year. It's called Which Way Is Up? And it's going to basically be a one-man show highlighting my life, my up and down. And it's going to be comical, you know, because I deal with everything. I did use humor, to deal with everything. And, I started off as a comedian. So it's going to be a comedy show, but it's also going to be a dramatic show because, I work both arenas. And praise the Lord, work both arenas very well. Poetic Justice was really the only film that I've done that brought out my comical side. Everything else that I've played, has been on the dramatic side. So we're producing, we're in pre-production, and we're laying out the plans to do, a one-man show called Which Way Is Up? Because I was down so low, Pastor. I was down so low that I had to reach up to touch bottom.
Yes.
And as I said, the Lord sustained me and kept me. He gave me a vision a little over a year ago. He gave me a vision because an opportunity came my way to write a sitcom. And we were sitting in the production office, Kale and I, when the call came in, and they told us, they told Kale, they said, we need a sitcom. And we had just received a sitcom in the office from a lady that really needed some work, and she had sent it to us for me to punch it up. And so I hadn't really done any work on it because I was working on some other projects, which I'll get into, but I really hadn't done any work on it because I was working at that time on a gospel comedy show called Good Time Gospel Comedy Revival, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But what I want to say is this, and so we sent them that. And the network executive said, okay, yeah, well, it's all right, because we knew it needed to be punched up, but it was the only sitcom we had. And they said, do you have anything else? And so KL said, well, let me get back to you. And he got off the phone, he came in the office, and he said, look, he said, I've been telling you that we need to, that you need to do some writing and write a sitcom. He said, I've been telling you that. And I was like, yeah, you're right. He said, well, this is the opportunity because they don't want that other show. He said, I'm telling you, I need a sitcom from you. And so he decided that he was going to leave me alone for a day because that's what I told him. I kind of forced that decision. I said, look, I said, just leave me alone, and let me see what I could do. And this was on a Wednesday, and I'll never forget it because when he left me in the house, I went in, shut everything off, radio, television, whatever was on, and I went in the middle of the floor, in the middle of the living room. This is my testimony. And I got down on my knees, and I started calling on the Lord. And I said, Lord, we have an excellent opportunity here. I'm being asked to do something that I've never done before. And I said, I know I can act. I know I can stand in front of an audience and tell funny jokes. I said, but I have never written a TV show. So you're going to have to show me what to do. And so after I had that conversation with the Lord, I got up off my knees and I went back to my desk and I sat down at the computer. The first word that I wrote on this blank page was kinfolks. K-I-N-F-O-L-K-S. And because The Lord told me that for the right. Ken Folks. Written by Keith A. McCary. Keith L. Lewis, Keith K. L. Lewis, executive producer. And then he started giving me the characters. Started laying out the characters. The principal characters, the supporting characters. He gave me the characters' names and who they are and what they did. And he gave me the concept. Pastor Tashana, this has grown into probably one of the hottest projects that's coming across the Hollywood desk today. We're in the midst of pre-production for Ken Folks, the TV sitcom, right now.
Wow.
We're here in Atlanta. We're partnered with the Atlanta-based film company, and not getting so much favor as far as the people that we have such a dynamic cast. We have an all-star ensemble cast. Dr. Juanita Bynum is going to be playing the spirit of my ex-wife, Wendy. Canton Jones is going to be playing my cousin, CJ.
Hello, Canton Jones.
We have Samantha McSwain, Broadway television star, I mean Broadway stage. She's in the movie Heaven Can't Wait, I believe it is. I might have had it wrong. Heaven Ain't Hard to Find. The movie just came out. She's been in Tyler Perry plays, Broadway, dynamic actress and songstress. I don't know if you remember Bernadette Stanis from Good Times.
Yes.
She's going to be playing the mother of my son, Joe Torre. Big Marv, Marvin Grant, MC Hammer's cousin from the show Hammer Time, is going to be playing my other son.
Wow.
We just signed Nephew Pugh from Keisha Cole's sister from Nephew's World. Is going to be playing my baby girl.
Wow.
Toy, and we got a host of other supporting role characters.
Wow.
The concept was Cousin Pete, you know, it's a lot of it. And unlike a lot of people that hit the lottery, you know, he's got to go buy Big Ten and, you know, get bling bling and all that. You know, he's always wanted to have a restaurant, nightclub. He's an auto worker in Ohio. And when what he does with his money is he buys the club that he's always wanted. That's going to be on the Florida Gulf Coast in a resort community. And, you know, so he can have his Cousin Pete barbecue and his other Cousin Pete soul food. And he, you know, buys a newer model vehicle car. So as you see in the opening pilot, you know, the truck that he had been driving for so long, he hadn't bought a new vehicle since, you know, his wife Wendy had passed.
And
so, you know, he buys a new vehicle. But other than that, he puts the rest of the money away in escrow for, you know, for his children, his grandchildren. And he invests in a community center. It's all about the kids. Cut people all about the kids. So, for that reason, because he got all his other money tucked away, he has everybody and anybody, just like Tupac, when he came out there, when they came and crashed the family reunion. Oh, you know me, I'm a little lefty, I'm cousin so-and-so. And, we take that and we kind of multiply it by 100. Because everybody comes out the woodwork. White people, Japanese people, Hispanic, everybody come out, you know, claiming to be a cousin, claiming to be a relative. And that's basically the concept of the show, is that everybody's trying to get a cousin piece of money. And, you know, and long-lost family members and people that he was kind of strange with, you know, they start coming back again. That's where Joe Torre comes in. You know, because he was the result, you know, of the marriage. Well, it wasn't actually a marriage, but you know, the high school incident with him and Bernadette Stanis, who plays Chak Dafi, and that's how I got to be Pete Jr. And so they're having conflicts. KL plays my nephew. KL plays my nephew. And I raised him because KL's mom and dad, KL's mom was my sister. You know, she OD'd doing drugs, and KL's father, Big Red, you know, went to prison. And so I raised them from kids. And so, you know, KL's like, I'm just as much a son as anybody else because I've been here with him so long, and I've been here with him, and you guys ain't been around for years, and here you coming out the woodwork. So it's all, we're going to, all kind of family conflicts on this show that, you know, that we resolve or deal with on a weekly basis. And as I said, we're doing the pilot right now, but even without the pilot being done, we have some major networks that are interested, and as soon as the pilot gets done, we'll begin to shop it. And people right now, the buzz around Hollywood, is this going to be one of the greatest black-based shows since the Cosby Show.
Wow. Look at God.
Right. Getting back to the question that was asked, you know, it ain't never too late. If it's in your heart and you know that this is, you know, God has told you that this is what, you know, that it's what you're supposed to do. And over again, I had to encourage myself throughout all the mess and the ups and downs. You know, I never lost that. God, you told me a long time ago, this is what I'm supposed to do. And you know, I stayed that course. And endured it all. Like I said, I had to sacrifice a lot because it ain't easy. It ain't easy. And I suffered a lot of losses because of the choices and decisions that I made. You know, not all negative choices and decisions, but just, you know, choosing to go this route. Because I could have been doing something else, and you know, probably would have ended my first marriage. I was a special projects mechanic at Boeing Air Force Base. You know, top security clearance, making them. Back in the 70s, I was making $20 an hour.
Wow.
And they said, what, you going to... I told my family, I told my family that I was going to start doing comedy. And they said, yeah, you sound like a comedian. You're talking about leaving this job. You better stay with this job. And you're
gonna... I know that's funny. Right.
You're funny, yeah. You got all this job and all them benefits, and you're going to walk away, you're going to do, you going to tell some jokes? Yeah, you're telling a big joke right there. That's real funny.
Yes. Well, we only have about 2 minutes left of the show. It's 45 minutes long. And if we still talk, they're going to cut us off, and ain't nobody else going to hear the rest of the show. But I would love to have you come back on this show and begin to just share more with the listeners, because it's a lot. I can see who all listen in and who all called in, and it's over 100 people right now listening to the show, and ain't no telling how many listening from their laptops, their MP3, their phones, or even through Facebook or Miami Ruby Magazine. Well, so they're listening in, and I know it's going to be more that's going to listen in later or maybe tomorrow or whatever, and I know they would love to hear more from you.
Sure,
and also, everyone
well.
Is out there listening, I'm going to have him as the Artist of the Week. The Artist of the Week on Iron and Ruby Magazine, and you all are members of that, www.ironandruby.ning.com. And you'll be able to listen to this also, and it's going to have more of his information on that, pictures. So he's going to be on the cover page of Iron and Ruby Magazine on tomorrow for a whole week. So anyone that want to just get in and know more about Keith McCary, I hope I got it right.
Right. Keith A. McCary Sr. If you log on to Facebook, you can, Keith A. McCary Sr., that's my Facebook page. So KEITH, middle initial A, McCary, MC, capital C, ARY, senior. Or they can go to KeithKLLewis.com, and that's my manager. Keith KL Lewis, KEITH, KLLEWERS, not Lewis, but Lewis.com. And you can get information about my sitcom and my comedy shows and so forth.
Wonderful. Also, Keith, after the show, I want you to call my home number so we can I can give you my email address. You can send me the information so I can get all the information to put your pictures or whatever on I Mean Ruby on today. And I just want to just thank God for you being on here. I thank God just for just being a blessing, and this is a wonderful show, and I just cannot wait to listen to it myself personally over on today. And I just want you to know,